Moncrief on News Talk.
So you get a cookbook and it claims all the recipes will take 30 minutes, but they don't, or the measurements for the ingredients seem off. And sometimes the instructions say a dash of something. American recipes often say a cup of something. How big of a cup? Can we really trust recipes at all? The home economist Agnes Boucher-Hayes joins us now, and we can trust her. Agnes, good afternoon.
Well, I hope you can, Sean. Good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad. The thing is, a chef, particularly professional chefs, they're kind of instinctive in the way that they cook. You know,
they didn't start out instinctive, I suppose, is the main point to make. So they would have gone through, some of them would have gone through an apprenticeship or culinary school, and they would have learned the basics there. And then I suppose what you'd say is they can rift on that to put their own slot on things in various and different ways. So that's, I think, where you have to be a little bit careful. Like with regards measurements, we measure in metric here in Ireland, but you will see in an awful lot of recipes that the cup, Americans will use cup, they use an entirely different set of recipes. Like Australia as well will use different ones. So you just have to convert things back to our own. And you just, you know, the easiest thing is to go to a converter and bring them back into grams and millilitres and things like that. But yeah, you see, Sean, I suppose really people don't realise that when you start cooking, you can't just pick up where, like, say, so a Jamie Oliver is and have that level of familiarity. You have to build yourself up to that, and you have to stretch, I suppose, the muscle memory and the skill level, you know. So it's like any other skill, you just have to learn and acquire it. And then once you become very familiar with a recipe, you can change it and you can augment it, and you can put your own little twists on it and your own flavorings. And once you've got one thing, you know, if you can get a couple of basic things mastered, and you know, you understand your own cooker, then everything else is a little bit more simple.
Yeah. Does that mean then that you actually can't, if you're starting from scratch and you buy a cookbook and you bring it home, that the chances are you will fail if you try to copy a recipe?
Some of them. Well, it depends on what cookbook you bring home. If I was advising somebody, I would tell them to get a good housekeeping cookbook or an All in the Cooking, or I'd look at certain recipes. Like some of Jamie Oliver's recipes are very simple. Our own Donal Skehan writes a lovely, simple, straightforward recipe in the vernacular that's easy to understand. You know, so there are people out there. Obviously, the Ballymaloe cookbooks, they're brilliant, especially A Year at Ballymaloe. It goes through all of the recipes and it gives all of the basics, you know. So you'll have like something like a vinaigrette or a mayonnaise or a pastry. So you'll have these tried and tested for generations, because these will go back to the Mrs. Beatons and, you know, the Delias and the Mary Berries. Those, you know, all of that knowledge and all of that practice will have been put into that book. Whereas if somebody has a brand new book out, they may not have tested the recipe so much. Or they may not be as familiar when they're, you know, or writing for the whole population. Like there are certain recipes that I won't go near, Sean. I wouldn't. Some chefs' books I go, lovely to look at, but no, they're very complicated. I'm telling you that straight out.
But you're not going to name names now, Agnes, are you?
I won't name. No. We can talk later.
But, give us initials.
Some may be Irish, some may be international. But what I would do is I would look at those recipes and I would read those recipes, because it's about a little bit about education and stretching the brain again. And I would then say, right, well, what is he actually doing there? What are they actually doing? How can I simplify that to a degree? And I'll then make it so that I, a home economist or a home cook, could make it a little bit easier and more and easier within my own kitchen and the limitations that I have there.
Yeah. Is a key difference if the author of the cookbook would routinely be cooking in a kitchen for four or six people, as opposed to somebody who would have devised these recipes in a commercial kitchen?
Well, the way that I've seen it work, Sean, is that, like, so you'd work with somebody who's writing the recipe, and the publisher then will get somebody in to test those recipes in the home setting. And that's what a home economist would do for a cookery book. So cookery books that have their recipes tested, you know, and I suppose some of the more prolific writers would have testers and people testing them. Like Jamie Oliver has a gang of people and a gaggle of people working as home economists to test those recipes and using ordinary ingredients and different, like maybe a fan oven, a convection oven, a gas oven, you know, testing the recipes to make sure they work. And that's what people, you know, inside multiples will do that as well with their instructions on the back of packs. And they will write them in a very simple way so that people, in the vernacular, so people can understand them and they can get successful outcomes from it. So a good cookery book, to my mind, is one that has had recipes tested, and that, you know, and the more well-known people would have that, like, you know, they'd have those recipes tested. And I also like to start with looking at the whole recipe. Like, there can be a massive list of ingredients, and sometimes you can simplify that down as well, but again, that's familiarity. But starting out, I would say start with something very simple, making a very basic tomato sauce, which is tomatoes, sugar, salt. That's it. Mm. And then you can add to that. And as you become more familiar, then you can start doing your penne alla vodkas and your, you know, whatever. You can take it whatever way you want it to go then. But, you know, start simple and really, you know, I would always say go with the tried and tested, the old reliables that have been around for a long time. Again, all in the cooking, a good housekeeping cookbook, they've all been tried and tested for donkeys.
Right. Okay. And do ovens vary?
Oh, they do, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So a commercial oven will be entirely different from a domestic oven. Unless you're cooking, like, a chef's cookbook would be very different from a domestic cookbook. But yeah, I mean, what you would have, and there are things that you can get if you were testing, you know, thermometers that you will sit into an oven and that will test the temperature of the oven so that you know where you are, because the insulation, the age, the efficiency of the oven would all change, as well as where you put things in the oven. That would actually change as well. Mm. And it depends if it's gas or convection or fan, you know, a lot of things. So knowing your own equipment as well. So moving into different houses or, you know, getting a new oven, take your time, get to know it. Things like agas as well. That's a whole different dimension in cooking. You know, you cook in a very different way within a solid fuel oven like that. Or, you know, so absolutely, ovens are massively different. There's a myriad out there.
Yeah. And when they say preparation time 20 minutes or 10 mm-hmm. minutes, that's mm-hmm. invariably nonsense.
If you're really good, you know, and you know how to work the feeler properly, then it mightn't be. Now, Jamie Oliver did do, you know, 20 minute meals, and he did run a clock. But that's a person who is, like, it's second nature to them. But also, yeah, you know, cleaning as you go, I don't know if it's factored in. You know, he's a team of people running in behind him to clear things and make sure his spaces are clear. I was reading some of them, knowing I was coming on, some of the recipes. And the preparation time, it looks easy, but my God, you'd want to be on roller skates in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah,
you need to be coming back on yourselves, you know.
If they factored in the cleaning up time, you know, you might think twice before you actually
and
did
do,
it.
But you do actually have to factor that in. And if you, now I'm going to sound like a real home economist, clean as you go, Sean, clean as you go, tidy down, because then at least you're more efficient in what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that will make, but again, that's muscle memory and familiarity in a kitchen and how you approach things. I would, like, read around a couple of recipes. If I was choosing what to cook, if there were people coming over, read around a couple of recipes, then take the bones of it, and I'd break it down into the different things. So I'd create a little plan for myself to make sure that things were timed out properly. You know, that also takes a little bit of skill and knowledge.
Yeah, because also as well, if you're eating in the city, you know, if you have a kitchen diner and you're sitting looking at a pile of pots in the sink.
It's just like, you know, there needs to be a place that you can put them, or that they're not there. You do not need to use every single pot in the whole place, you know, that. But it is. And then, you know, it's very hard for the person that's doing the cooking then to sit down and relax when they're looking at the washing up as well, you know.
Absolutely. Agnes, thanks a million as ever. That was the home economist, Agnes Boucher-Hayes there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.